Hey everybody, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. It's really awesome to be hanging out, finally getting another episode in here. It's been a crazy end of the year. Lots of time demands on everything coming up towards the end, so haven't been able to do a lot of these, but I do appreciate y'all tuning in. Hopefully we'll get back to a solid frequency when we can get to back to a decent frequency on the podcast. This podcast, by the way, brought to you by hard work. Hard work. It's what we're doing right now. So I guess we should say which episode this is. And I don't know. I think it's 83. But just some things that have been going on in my life before we get to the Ask Broman questions. We've had it's been a kind of crazy end of the year. This is 84 actually. Nice. It's been a crazy end of the year for King's Coast and Rare Drop and the stream in Guardian Con, and there's just so many moving parts. And before I get to answer any questions, I just sort of wanted to take a minute and tell you about a discussion that I had with Kevin, who's, my business partner and one of my best friends. When we started doing all this, I guess idealistically, many of us were thinking like, oh, we're just going to like make one or two really great things, and it's going to be like someone's going to back a dump truck of money up to whatever we're working on, and it's just going to show up. And well, there's a reason why I said idealistically, because that doesn't happen. But we've always really been focused on like having that as a goal, like the big win, the home run, right? The moment where all of the work pays off, because that's, I think that's what's in everyone's mind, right? The triumphant moment. And what's interesting to me is, despite living the exact opposite on Twitch, we were kind of expecting this to happen in another domain, when it really doesn't. But throughout all of that, even though we had this hope, expectation, we still put our head down, we were humble, and we worked hard every single day. And that's what I wanted to sort of start with, was this idea that even when you have lofty goals, you need to sit down and you need to focus and you need to work really hard every single day. When you're trying to hit a home run in a baseball game, you are still swinging at as many pitches make sense. And I'm sorry, my voice is exceptionally tired, but you are always doing your best to take your shot anytime, the ball comes across the plate. Anytime you are sitting there, anytime you are, in your creative process and something shows up that makes sense, you do your best to take action towards securing that deal or finishing that painting or, making that content, filling that gap, whatever it might be. And when you do that consistently, sure, there's the chance that you could make the one video that has you go viral. But there's the probably ever more present reality that you're just going to win one person over every single day with what you're doing. And over time, you'll build an empire of people who believe in you. Because maybe one out of every 10 of those people will get one more person. And one out of every 10 of those people will get another person. So on and so forth. Until eventually, you have this army of people who really believe in what you're doing. And I think that that is the more real expectation of what we do here. Whether it's in business or in charity or in streaming, always taking the shot, even if you don't get the home run. It doesn't mean you don't get a base hit. And I don't know why I'm so fucking obsessed with baseball metaphors right now, but apparently that's my life today. And that's what we're talking about. So let's get into these questions. This first one is from Mally, and I feel like it's actually a really great question. Because it comes up a lot in consumer mindset on Twitch, and it comes up a lot in conversation and the relationship between content creator and consumer. And it's this question. Would you say that broadcasting is a form of customer service? Now, the simple answer to this in my mind is like, no, absolutely not. Broadcasting is a creative endeavor. Making YouTube videos is a creative endeavor. Making content is creative. But at the same time, you see a lot of people tailor their content to a specific customer, right? And so you have this interplay and this introduction of the idea is my content customer service? And there's a lot of interesting interplay here. For example, like if I go downstairs and I turn on the television and it's 6 p.m., you know, on a weekday and I'm watching Fox, The Simpsons is probably going to be on. The Simpsons is always there. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern every day, whatever. And that is kind of what people are used to. And so when you start streaming or you start making YouTube content, you start to build this expectation that your content will be there for someone to consume at a certain date or time or at a certain frequency. And I think that that is the point that I guess want to start this conversation. That relationship is very customer service focused. You are absolutely presenting a product to somebody inside of a meaningful time frame. That product is you or whatever you've made. And so in that way, yeah, like if you're not there one day, then yeah, like that kind of feels like bad customer service, and that could ultimately affect your business negatively. And that would be bad. But you know, the other side of the equation is if you make content specifically for people to consume, at what point do you lose connection with your creative core and start to make something that sucks garbage or is so generic that it doesn't stand out? This is where it really starts to get into like the philosophy of art and consumerism and all this other shit. So I love this idea. This question is so profound. And I think that, I'm obviously giving you my answer, but I think that you need to think about this question as a content creator as well. I don't think broadcasting is a form of customer service. I do think that you have a customer, but I do not think that like a normal customer service job, you need to say things like the customer is always right. I believe in listening to the market of whatever, you know, if suddenly you start making videos and no one is watching them, maybe make a different kind of video. It doesn't necessarily mean run to what's popular, but you know, that's definitely your customer telling you they don't like something. But I don't think that the primary goal of making content should be to serve a particular customer unless that customer is yourself. There's a fantastic interplay between staying true to you and staying authentic and building an audience off of that and figuring out a way to take that and use a lens that different people, may enjoy. For example, I have a podcast, I have Instagram, I have Twitter, I have Twitch, I have YouTube, and people like to consume content that different, you know, the same kind of content, different ways, but it's still authentically me. And this is a concept I don't know if I've talked about, but it's one of the most humbling things about making content. When you're making stuff that is authentic to you, you have to have this one really humble realization and this really humble belief that there is a limit to your creativity and personality. There are a set number of people on the planet that are going to connect with your particular brand of stuff. And even if you're the most successful celebrity in the entire universe, even if you're somebody whose name is a household name, there are still people in those households that think you suck shit. And they only know your name because you're ubiquitous. And you're everywhere, and it's annoying to them, and they hate it, and they're not going to watch any of your stuff, but they know who you are. So I think that coming to grips with that statement, that idea that there's always going to be people who don't like what you make, and that's okay, and that ultimately you as a product, as a creator, are only going to connect with so many different people. And I think your job in the service of a customer, in the service of a consumer for your content, is to take what you do and put it in as many different shapes and forms and accessibility modules and modes or whatever as possible for that one person who's going to listen or watch or see or post or read. Because ultimately that is the best service you can provide with your content. So I love that question. Again, the question is, would you say broadcasting is a form of customer service? We went a little bit deeper into it, but I really, really, really want you, like, as a creator, to think about what that means to you. Captain McFly asks, what are some of the best ways to get a community engaged when you're not streaming, looking to keep conversations going longer and foster strong relationships within your community and others? You know, this echoes into what I was saying previously. You know, if you're primarily streaming on Twitch, then opening a podcast up might allow some deeper conversation into concepts that you're talking about on stream. Posting on Instagram, the key things that you value from each day might end up driving quicker conversations with people who want to stay engaged in a bite-sized format. Posting your thoughts on Twitter, it's a fantastic way for you to engage with people on a larger scale or who enjoy text. If you've got the chops for it, maybe writing a blog about those same things. Honestly, it's about taking what you want to talk about and making it, putting it somewhere where it's more evergreen. Live streaming is so temporary and semi-permanent, especially in the mind of a viewer, whereas something like Instagram or YouTube or Twitter has a more permanent sticking point where people can engage with it months, years after the fact, and you can continue to, you know, gain information from those conversations and engage with people much later in the life cycle of that content. I still have people that come up and say hi to me and say things like, hey, I watch your X video. God, it must be once a week because I just think it's so fucking funny. And it's something I posted 3 years ago. And that's awesome. You know, that is brand value for you and engagement that exists so far outside of the time scope that you think you have. Just because you put something somewhere else. Intergeek Designs ask, what do streamers or you look for when it comes to logo design? I'm trying to make a more active push next year to offer this as a service when I have downtime, and I don't know the best way to position it. I mean, I look for really specific things because I know what I like. You know, I like simple designs. If you look at, you know, my logo and my iconography and my color schemes and things like that, that I kind of revolve everything around, it's a pretty simple stamp. It's a P and a B, and it's green and black or white or blue. And that's it. That's all I want. I think ultimately, this is a question that requires you to do some personal research and figure out, okay, what are the logos that are in the space right now? Look at other streamers' logos, look at esports logos, look at traditional sports logos, look at brand identity logos, and then take your art, your spin on those concepts and the streamer who you're talking to, and, you know, merge those identities. You know, you have a way that you would design a logo for me that is different than the way that my designer would do it. You know, your specific vision for somebody is what is going to matter in this situation. Your creative capacity is the differentiating factor. You know, some people like me might like really simple logo design. Someone else might like a logo design that looks, you know, looks like the, death metal album cover that's incredibly ornate and damn near impossible to read. It comes down to knowing your audience and knowing your style. So that would be my recommendation, is do some research and do some practice. So this is a question from Real Energy says, cats or dogs? I have two dogs. Marcus Jactor asks, how do you manage a stream schedule with IBS? It's hard for me to stream daily with it. I have Crohn's disease, which has been part of the reason why this podcast has not been happening more consistently. I've been trying to remove stress and work less because that was what the doctor said to do. I think with any physical ailment, any mental ailment, anything that's happening with your body, you have to put yourself first and you have to get better. You have to get to a state of wellness where you have energy to output. You know, if you're sick or if you're dealing with, if you're sick physically or if you're sick mentally, if you're dealing with depression or if you have IBS or, if you're dealing with bipolar disorder or if you're, dealing with constant allergies and asthma or whatever it is, all of these, this litany of things that can be chronic conditions, chronic pain. I think that one of the hardest things to do when you're in a situation like that is take the slow path, the slow journey to getting better. And you just want to jump into something both feet. I think Twitch specifically, people look at it, or any sort of content creation, and they look at it and they think, oh, that looks easy. And then they jump in and they go, oh shit, this actually takes a lot of energy, to try and put on a live show for 8 hours a day. And along with getting well, I think that slowly working it into your schedule in smaller doses so your body can get used to the stress. Now I'm speaking specifically with IBS and Crohn's. For me, when I started streaming a long time ago, it was, 2 or 3 hour blocks. And then it was 4 hour blocks and then 6 hour blocks. And then eventually, my body built up the tolerance to being able to do something like this as second nature for very long periods of time. But that was slow. And if I would have jumped right into my 18 hours a day schedule that I kept for so long, I don't think I could have made it right away. So I think that, managing a schedule with IBS or managing a schedule with any sort of chronic condition comes to a good relationship with your doctor, a good relationship with yourself, and being honest with your own limitations while you're getting started, and then building a schedule that makes sense. I've said this before on the podcast, and I'll say it again here. Maybe streaming isn't the right thing for you to do. Maybe you are better served creating content on for YouTube or Instagram or whatever, because I will stand by the reality that live streaming requires an incredibly high amount of on energy. You can't take breaks. You can't, sit there and close your eyes for 10 minutes while you're thinking about the next edit that you want to make. There is an incredible amount of energy and an incredible amount of time that you have to be on with no downtime. And it makes streaming incredibly difficult when it comes to other creative professions. And this is not me degrading anybody who is incredibly successful making content anywhere else on the internet. But I think that there is an incredibly unique challenge for people that have diseases like IBS, like Crohn's, that may require you to go fucking sit on a toilet for 25 minutes because guess what? Your body decides it's time to shit its brain out. You can go shit your brains out for 25 minutes and then come back and finish editing your YouTube video or come back and finish the second half of the shot that you didn't get because you had to go take a shit. But when you're live streaming and you're gone for 25 minutes, everyone thinks you're dead. So I think knowing your medium and knowing your limitations is also helpful. Maybe you can't. Maybe live streaming is not the best call, but maybe an Instagram account is. Maybe making really high quality blog post content is. Maybe making really high quality video content on demand on YouTube is exactly what you need to and can do. You know, look at the breadth of potential creativity that you can do, and consider doing those instead, because it might make you happier sooner and it might be healthier for you long term. This is a question from James. How should I deal with attempting a new type of stream? I have a great idea and I think it's really good, but I don't know if there's an audience for it. I think the answer to this one's really simple. It's do it. Every great idea that we have is absolutely pointless until we take the shot. I think that for a long time on Twitch, the idea of character streaming was looked at as like lowbrow, or incredibly niche. You're like, oh, well, why would I watch somebody play a character on Twitch? That's dumb. And then Dr. Disrespect happened and everyone's like, oh shit, character streaming's great. And there's a whole other aspect and there's a long story there as well and a whole lot more context that I'm not going to get into. But the key takeaway is, if any of these character streamers had waited to say like, oh, well, I don't know, or I don't know what people are going to think or whatever, instead of just doing it, you would have lost the opportunity and the chance of, you know, being a first mover, or getting involved early. I really encourage you, if you feel like you have an original idea, to go out there and start doing it as soon as possible. Original ideas or original concepts in new media are so rare. They happen all the time, but, you know, every time a new concept or idea gets attacked or approached or used, it's one less that's in the pile for people to do. So whatever your great idea is, James, I'd recommend starting it immediately, and then seeing how people respond. Because there's no way to know if there's an audience for it if you never put it out there to find an audience. This is a question I don't know if we've addressed on the podcast before. View botting, detection, and how it applies, effects applying for partner. I've seen viewer spikes recently. Should I be worried? No. I think on Twitch, Twitch took incredibly heavy legal action over the past couple of years against the biggest view botting sites, got them shut down and all this other stuff. My policy has always been, if you think something weird is happening to your channel and you know it's not you, talk to somebody at Twitch. Even if it's just sending an email to, help at Twitch. Hey, my numbers are funny. I just want to let you know. This is weird and new to me. And I just want to let you know. Cover your own ass. And you'll be fine. That's how I've always done it. And it's managed to work out. Connor says, would you recommend certain days that you'd stream starting out? Or is it just stream as long as you can when you can? There's two schools of thought on this. One is make a schedule, stick to it. Find the days and times that work for you and make sure you're always online. When I got started, it was stream what I could when I could. Schedule is one aspect of becoming very successful. But I think that if you don't have control over that, which is actually a question I've seen a lot in reply to this on Twitter today. If I don't have control of my schedule, what do I do? Fucking ignore the fact that you can't make a schedule. Quit obsessing about the one thing that you can't control, which is your schedule, because you have someone else in charge of that. And start obsessing over the other things that matter. Okay, when can I stream? All right, cool. So I'm going to stream then. What's the best game? Who are the best people to collaborate with? How can I network more? How can I reach out and make more content creating friends? How can I build this or build that? How can I work on my overlays? How can I work on, there's so many other things that can help define your success, that, focusing on something that you can't control it's not going to let you see the pathway there. So if you're listening to this and you don't have control over your schedule, don't fucking worry about it. Start worrying about the stuff you can control and the creative aspects of your job or the creative aspects of streaming that you want to have control over and you do have control over, and work on those. We didn't have a lot of questions on Twitter this time since I had to kind of call an audible on this and say, because we were going to do it live, and then the story of my life over the past month is I forgot that I had a meeting, and then I had to go to a meeting, and it was a good meeting, but it prevented me from, you know, obviously recording the podcast. So that's all we got today. I wish that I could tell you the next time we're probably going to be recording this, but I don't think I can. I can tell you that it has been an incredible over a year of recording these episodes. We've gotten over 100, and this will be 193 uploads on the podcast feed since we started around last October 2017. And a lot has happened, and I am I'm so incredibly humbled, and I am grateful that any of you are still listening to this. I really do use this as the best platform to educate people and share my journey with you all. And so any of you taking this journey with me, it's been awesome. I really want to start doing some follow-ups with people since we've been doing this so long. There have been some folks that have come on the podcast and absolutely started crushing it. In the future, you know, growing their own businesses or their own channels or on alternate platforms and things like that. And it'll be really fantastic to have those follow up. So look for those soon, hopefully. This is how pressed I am for time. Like, I'm finishing this podcast, doing my outro, and I'm like typing up the text for the upload as well at the same time. It's been a wild end of the year. I'm sure we'll be able to do another upload before the end of the year, but if not, I want to leave you with this thought. I have always had a very firmly held belief that you should take as many chances as you possibly can. On yourself, and I mean like every single chance. One of the opportunities that you may think doesn't matter today, the connection that you can't see how the puzzle pieces all interlock, now doesn't mean you shouldn't take a chance. So much of what has happened over this past year for me and for the stream, for you all, for the companies I'm a part of, companies that I'm, you know, run or build, a lot of the connections that have happened have been circumstance, air quotes, but the reality is those things happened because I took every single other chance in the past 6 years of my life, and I have so many, I guess, chess pieces or puzzle pieces in front of me because of that I can always find something to make it fit. So wherever you're at right now, whatever you're doing, whatever you're working on, realize that accumulating those puzzle pieces is always a net positive game for you, and you should always do it. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for being an incredible part of this year on the podcast. I love and appreciate all of you. Make sure to rate, comment, subscribe, but more importantly, please share this with somebody that you love, somebody you think needs to hear it, because that means the world to me. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.